God is awesome. That's why I said it. God is awesome. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. God is awesome. God is just so awesome. First of all, I'm going to tell you a little story. And we'll get right into this morning's service. A couple in their 90s, and this is always the goalies. A couple in their 90s was having problems remembering things, so they decided to go to the doctor for a checkup. The doctor tells them that they are physically okay, but they might want to start writing things down to help them remember. Later that night, they're watching TV. The old man gets up from his chair. His wife asks, "Where are you going?" He said, "To the kitchen." She says, "Will you bring me back a bowl of ice cream?" Husband says, "Sure." She gently reminds him, "Don't you think that you should write it down so you can remember it?" He says, "No, I can remember that." Then she says, "Well, I like some strawberries on top. You better write it down because I know you'll forget it." He says, "I can remember that. You want a bowl of ice cream with strawberries." She asks, "I'd also like some whipped cream." "Now, I'm certain you'll forget it. You better write it down." Irritated, he says, "I don't need to write it down. I can remember that ice cream with strawberries and whipped cream." Then he rumbles into the kitchen. About 20 minutes later, the old man returns from the kitchen, hands his wife a plate of bacon and eggs. She stares at the plate for a moment and says, "Where's my toast?" I don't like to brag. I found out some. I don't like to brag, but the cashiers are always checking me out. You know that? Two in a row. Oh, yeah. Well, it is Labor Day. God is so awesome. I still got this. I know God's going to take care of it. God's got it. I know it's going out of here eventually. I know. Today we're going to talk, this is part one of two parts, maybe three parts, I don't know. Well, God's love. Now, this started out as a Labor Day message. I worked on it hard for days. I mean, for days. And, you know, it's got to click. If it don't click, then I know that it's not right. And so it had not clicked, and it had not clicked, and it just had not clicked. And I was getting a little nervous there. I said, "Lord, now you let me, you know, I know you let me sweat before, but now I'm really, 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 really sweating. I need you to help me." And so he said, "Keep studying, keep studying, keep studying." And as I finally hit it, I hit it. And then I found it. So this was a Labor Day message, and it still may be kind of sort of maybe if you close one eye and look out the side of the other. You really are. Now, get your book out to filet mignon. to Philemon. Philemon is really pretty simple to find. You just go right after Titus. That helped a lot, didn't it? Oh, Titus! Well, no wonder! Titus is after Timothy. There's two sets of writings of Paul's, the Pauline epistles. And then there's the pastoral epistles, and this kind of falls in both of them. Very, very good writing, and we're not even going to talk about filet mignon today, but this is where it's going to start anyway. I'll even talk about this next week. I'm not even going to talk about it next week. Read this. Wherefore, I love thee much more in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech ye, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in chains, which in times past was not unto thee profitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I sent again, that thou receive him, that is, my own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that instead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. And he goes on and on and on, but again, it's about, he's trying to write on behalf of Onesimus, a runaway slave, and how Philemon Yawn should be handling him. So let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you are alive and well, and God, you are on the throne. I thank you, God, that you're making everything, all things new. There's nothing impossible for you to resurrect. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, God, that you're working in our midst, that you're working in a very powerful way. And I thank you, God, that you got all this covered. In the name of Jesus, we give this to you. And the church said, amen. Now, again, like I said, you'll see where Labor Day comes in eventually. You know, I know if you've been watching the news and watch all the things that's going on around us, that there's something very powerful happening in our midst. And that is, tolerance is being preached everywhere. You got to be tolerant. You got to be tolerant. You got to be tolerant. Tolerant of our differences, tolerant of our diversities, tolerant of our directions. And I understand that because, honestly, not everybody feels the same thing, same way about everything. As simple as some like to hunt, some like don't like to hunt, they'd rather fish. Some when they fish, they'd rather go offshore fishing. Others rather fish in a pond. Some want to hunt squirrels, some want to hunt deer. Things of that nature. Then we get into the heavy duty stuff. Then there's like, you know, well, I'm Catholic. Well, I'm Protestant. Well, okay. Well, now, I am working in this area of my life. I'm an engineer. Well, I'm a doctor. There's so many differences. And in this last day and time, they've got to do with genders and all this other stuff that's going on. And so there's a whole lot of stuff. And people are saying, we have to learn to be tolerant. Well, what I have discovered is, and please don't throw anything at me, but what I have discovered is that actually, there's very little tolerance. It's not tolerance. Matter of fact, some expect tolerance, but they do not know how to return the tolerance. And so we have this thing going on in this generation. One of the biggest words around now is one of the key words of this generation, tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. But in some ways, it's tolerance on one side and censorship on the other side. And so you can't have it both ways. You can't have tolerance and censorship, and you can't have censorship and censorship. You got to have tolerance and tolerance. The whole problem is the world's doing everything wrong with this. Of course, you expect it because it is the world. So tolerance is key. Here's what we're going to talk about now. I'm not just talking about the gender thing or all that other stuff that goes along with all that other stuff that want tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. We're talking about just tolerance, period. Every day to your life, you have to live with tolerance. If you're married, you don't always agree with everything your spouse does. You have to learn to be tolerant with them. Amen? With your children, you have to learn to be tolerant with them. With your church members, you have to learn to be tolerant with them. With your coworkers, you have to learn to be tolerant. So tolerance is a very big word that covers your entire life. Our entire life is nothing but tolerance. So don't just look at what's happening in the generation that now and Generation X and all the stuff that's going on, all the crazy mess that's happening around us. Tolerance goes much deeper. And so if you look at tolerance now in this aspect, you're going to see something that's really, really good and really, really bad. The reason tolerance doesn't work a lot is because we're going about it the wrong way. So many have neglected the key ingredients to tolerance. And it's found in God's perception and God's passion. A lot of the tolerance movement has nothing to do with God. Or if it has something to do with God, it's many gods. You know, they can't always get along. But actually, God's not in it. And so, if we're going to live in a tolerant society, and again, we have to be tolerant of our spouses, tolerant of our children, tolerant of our co-workers. You have to be tolerant of your pastor. Pastor has to be tolerant of members. All this tolerance, there's a lot more to it. The way to make it work for everyone versus tolerance and censorship is God's perception. So this is where the Labor Day comes in. All right, here's your Labor Day message. Y'all ready? The Bible says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to the disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Let's look at another version of this. When he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them. Because they were bewildered, they were harassed and distressed and dejected and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust laborers into his harvest. Wow. That's very powerful. Such a powerful, powerful message. That encompasses our entire life. That encompasses a lot of people we know. That encompasses the entire tolerant movement. If you see this, when I look out and I see things, I'm going to talk about it in a minute. I'll talk about it in the next couple of slides, but we have to learn, literally learn, God's perspective on things if we want to be able to be effective ministers. So, first there's his perspective. There's also God's passion. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not
perish.
But have what?
Everlasting life.
Okay. For God so loved the church. For God so loved the Baptists. For God so loved the females.
All of us.
For God so loved the males.
Everybody.
For God so loved the Americans.
World.
For God so loved the world. He loves you whether you're black, white, red, yellow. No matter what your lifestyle is. No matter where you've been, no matter where you're going, God loves us. There is a judgment day coming, yes. And God is very stringent on how things are to be judged. But until that day, know this, that God doesn't send people to hell. People choose it, whether on purpose or not, they choose it because God provides the opportunity for every man. So now, this doesn't get a little bit different. I love this. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whosoever believes in, trusts in, clings to him, and relies on him should not perish. Come to destruction to be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. That's the Amplified version of John 3:16. So now, let's just look at this. See, the world's viewpoint does not change the other part. The world's viewpoint is, you be tolerant of me, and you change your viewpoint. But when God's viewpoint is brought forth, it changes all of us, every last one of us. It's not just one side or the other, whoever we're working with, whatever's going on, it changes everybody. So here we go. Watch this now. Here he is. Just for the sake of it, I better do this just in case. There's seven types of love in the Greek. There's four types of love in the New Testament. You hear me say it all the time. If you ever gone to marriage counseling, you've heard this. If you've gone to premarital counseling, you've heard this. I use this all the time. It's very powerful. And when you think about this, wow. And this is just such a powerful thing. And in order for a marriage to work, all four of these have to be there. And for any other relationship, there's three things that have to be in there. But first, there is Eros love. That's only in a marriage relationship. This is a love that arises from passion. It is love between a man and a woman. It gives and it receives. It gives. It receives. That's where we get the word erotic. That's only between a man and his wife. This next one, storge. It's love that rises from affection. It's the affection of family love. Okay? This is what you feel for your children and what your children feel for you and other people that you accept into your family. This also gives, but it receives. Then there's phileo. Phileo is the love that arises from affection, the affection of friendship. The city of brother love is why? Phila? It's actually, if you look at it, it's Philadelphia. Okay, Philadelphia. That kind of friendship, that's when you're buddies with people you work with. It gives and it receives. But now, here's the harem, agape. These four loves have to be in a marriage for a marriage to work correctly. Take a time of the way, these three have to be in friendships and for families to actually get along. Okay? So, agape. Agape love is so different. But when you look at agape love, now we're talking a whole different critter. Because agape love is that, watch this, it is an active, here you go, come on agape, let's do it. It is an active determination of your will to benefit another. In other words, you're given, but you're not expected to receive. It's without regard for your own benefit. Agape is the power behind grace. Grace is actually divine favor. But divine favor would not happen without agape. Think about it. Without agape, there will be no grace. And grace, again, gets fed by agape because God gives us divine favor, not expecting anything in return. This is going to get deep now, so listen to it good. This agape explained. John 3:16, agape is compassion in action. For God so loved the world. He was compassionate to our situation. He was compassionate to our sorrows. Job says, you don't know how I feel, God, because you've never experienced pain. You don't know what it's like because you've never experienced loss. You don't know, God. And so God sent his son. Now God can say, I've had loss now. I know what it's like to watch my child die. I know what it's like to send my very best and have it rejected. So, agape is compassion in action, compassion for our lost situation, compassion for our sorrows, but agape also is committed to giving. He was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That word love is agape. He gave, which is grace, his only son. So, God committed his son. But not only did God commit his son, God had to commit himself. Because if God hadn't committed himself, then God will never allow his son to die. I promise you, if I see you with anybody's child, and I think you're really, really harming that child, I'm stepping in. But especially if I see you with my child, I know I'm stepping in. Okay? So agape is committed. He committed his son. He committed himself. Agape is completely forgiven. Oh, here's a hard one. Agape is completely, y'all say completely forgiven. You know, there's a lot buried a hatchet. A lot of times people bury the hatchet but leave the handle hanging out just in case they have to grab it. Okay? I had a man, we all do this, but you know, we were in a war notorious for it, but we're all notorious at times. As that man said, when the member of fight, she gets historical. He said, don't you mean hysterical? He said, no, historical. She remembers everything I've done from the beginning of the time. And she tells me. It's completely forgiven for whosoever believes. God completely saves. God completely satisfies. Agape does that. And agape is contagious. He said, if I've been lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It cannot be stopped, and it's got to be spread. So now, here we go. Now get ready to shake up somebody, I hope. I hope it's really, this, I'm not going to keep you long today, I promise. God says in Ephesians 2, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, is the gift of God. At least any man can boast. I didn't save me. We walk around sometimes, especially legalistic folk, like they saved themselves. I'm telling you, it don't work that way. I am nothing without God. I can't do a thing without God. I can't save myself. I have to have God. So watch this. Here it is. Watch this. Our challenge through grace. We've already talked about the meaning of grace and what a grace does. But now here's our challenge, our response to grace. Get ready. We are to accept it by faith. No legalism. It's not what you wear. It's not that you're doing everything right, crossing every T, dotting every I. We are saved by faith. We speak to God. We speak to the rock. We speak. God, just this week, on text messaging, somebody texted me at 10 o'clock at night and said, how can I know that I'm saved? And I said, have you ever confessed Jesus as your personal Savior? And it said, no. I said, do you want to? They said, yes. And so right there on text messaging, I led somebody to Christ. It's just a wild. And when we got through, he said, man, I feel so much lighter. I feel so much better. And the next day, he said, I had a whole much better night. See, I said, it's not what you do, what you say. It's accepting by faith. Here comes the hard part. But God says, I don't want you just to accept my grace. I don't want you just to be saved. Here comes the tolerance again. I want you to pass this on. So we accept it. We accept grace by faith. But we pass it on by works. Woo! Wow. The Bible says faith without works is dead. I accept what he did for me by faith. But in order for me to get the message out, I got to do something. I can sit on my pew and I can be holy, holy, holy. But nobody's going to get saved by me sitting on a pew being holy, holy, holy. People get saved by you going out at the workplace and then seeing grace in action. So when they see your actions and your attitude outside, that's part of the works. So we're saved by faith, but we pass it on by works. Let's go a little bit further here. Little brother, little sister, they're so cute. Bless their hearts. My command is this, that you love each other as I've loved you. You know, honestly, it's these little brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're together. We worship together. We talk together. We sing together. We visit together. It's simple. Here comes the hard part. Jesus said, oh, I love this. This is a zinger. This one here will kind of aggravate some people. But Luke 6, 32 says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? If all you do is love those that love you, what is that? He says, even the world does that. They love those that love them. But God said, I want you to put the storage up on the shelf. I want you to put the filia up on the shelf or filia up on the shelf. And I want you to take the agape. And I want you to love the unlovable. I want you to reach out to people that you wouldn't normally reach out to. If nothing else, be a smile. Show grace in how you handle the person. You may not come talk to the person. You may not be able to help that person. But just that smile. Just the kind heartedness. You see, the Bible tells us, look at that, love covers 7 times 70. You know, this is pretty cool here, 1 Peter 4:8. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:8, above all, have fervent and unfailing love one for another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Meaning, it doesn't take it away. Only Jesus can take away sin. He's the only one. But when I love you with agape love, I can learn to be tolerant of you. I promise you, everybody in this place, and everybody's hearing my voice, there's somebody you're having to tolerate. I can promise you something else. There's somebody tolerating you. Not me, I'm Mr. Cool. You ain't got to tolerate me. I'm Billy Bad. Really? I promise you there's people tolerating me. There's a lot of people I tolerate. See, love, agape, covers the multitude of sins. It means it overlooks unkindness and then selfishly seeks the best for others. Wow. Wow, that's crazy, isn't it? God never said, never. Y'all say never.
Never.
God never said that we had to approve of certain people's lifestyles and what they do. We don't have to participate with them. But we do have to show agape. My heart was broke this week. I couldn't go to B5 because they had COVID. They were locked in. So on Tuesday night after service, I turned on Home Wave. And as soon as I turned it on, got a hit. And I said, wow, that was fast. And they said, we just had to talk to you. I said, what's going on? 2 weeks ago, one of the guys in the unit unexpectedly got out. He got transferred to another county. They did some processing there, and then he got sent back to Greenville. He was going to do a halfway house. He hadn't been there 2 or 3 hours. The person leading the halfway house is going to pick up another person to bring to the halfway house. They called her and said, hey man, this guy, he's laid down. He's not listening to us. He's not doing it. It's something wrong. She said, well, go shake him and see if he's okay. And they shook him and said, it's dead. He's 35 and 2 girls. And he was going to be getting himself better to go introduce himself back into their lives. 2 things. I talked to his mother. It is a couple hours from here, and I talked to her mother, and she said, we haven't talked in a long time because of his addiction problems. He was somebody that we didn't even know, and I knew this was the best for him. And she started asking me, how was he at the end? And I said, well, I can give you some assurance, Mom. She said, what? Because I didn't get a chance to see him. I didn't even talk to him. What's going on? He wouldn't talk to me. We never could look up. I said, well, you know what? Every week I'd go in there. And we would have a good time talking about the Lord, talking about little things. And just a few weeks ago, I walked in, and I always give him candy. So I had candy, always give him candy, and the old thing, soup or something. And so, He always sit right there beside me, right there. And she said, I didn't even know whether he was even serving God or not. I said, I'll tell you this. I said, just a few weeks before he left, I went there on Thursday night, me and Benny, and I was expecting to have NA in there at 8 a.m., so I was just going to go to the box and do personal counseling. And instead, they weren't there, so I just started talking with the guys. I said, what do y'all want to talk about? I said, I got a better idea. What do y'all want to be talking about? And one guy said something, and everybody went, nah, nah, nah. Another guy said this. I'm afraid you go. And I said, well, I need something. It's because I don't feel like hurting him. So last time that happened, I come back. I just treated so different. I just wasn't home. Tell me what I got to do. And so we went on about an hour session. And those guys in my party got my head swimming. Can you write this stuff down? And so it's okay. So the next 2 weeks, I was talking about how to handle it when you get home, especially if they don't accept you. And I told the mother, I said, we've been doing this. So I didn't know he was going home. We're getting ready to go home. I said, but every time I said, y'all got any children? And he raised his hand. I said, well, she's asked, I got daughters. I said, okay. And she said, what happened? And I kept telling him, I kept mentioning to the guy. And the guy would get up and for 3 or 4 months, every time I was in there, he'd say a Lord's Prayer with me. He would give me a big old arm. He had great old big old arms popping at me. And I'd go, you look like a WWE wrestler or whatever. Whatever you call it, whatever you call those guys getting ready to fight about those guys. And she said, I can't believe that God can go to his heart like that. Thank you for telling me that, because I need a chance to talk to him. And all I could think about was this sermon then. Later, the sermon and then getting together. I thank God that I got a chance. I did not participate with what he participated in. I did not approve of what he had been doing. He was a prisoner at Penitentiary Center because of what he had done. I did not approve of it, did not condone it. But I showed him agape. And we developed a relationship. And I thank God for that. Nobody knew he was going to die. Nobody. Nobody knew he was going to die. But I thank God that I got a chance. It wasn't just me. It was other people afterwards during the week. But, I mean, I got a chance to show him true agape. I loved him. With that fervent agape. And it made a difference in his life. You see, God wants to do something to everybody. So I want y'all just to watch this for a minute. Just watch this. After we watch this, we'll come back. And I got another slide. I want us to watch this because this spoke to me so strongly. God is such a powerful God. God uses his people to speak to us. And use this song. I guarantee you, he used this song to speak to me.
The love of God is greater far than time or pain can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest head. The guilty pen bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring tribe he reconciled and pardoned from his. Could it be with me? ocean bed and where the skies of parchment gray burn every star on earth a quail and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above would train me up send you around nor could the scroll contain the hope of stretch from sky to sky.
6 months, and him dying on the way home, never made it home. They don't know what happened. He had a seizure. They don't know what happened. But I thank God that he put it in my path, and I got a chance to show you what God did. Because he didn't trust people. As Mama said, he didn't trust people. And he was kind of a tough egg to crack there for a while, but he cracked. Because every time he would reject, I'd keep hammering with the agape, hammering with the agape, hammering with the agape. Whenever I go into Beef Mob, or go into Bloodford, Detention Center, go in nursing home, go to hospital, go to Walmart. I keep thinking about it. If you love those who love you only, what credit is that before God? Wow. I also thank God that I got a chance to tell his mother, and it just done her heart so good to hear about how her son had a change of heart. It's nothing I did. It was the agape that did it. This week's assignment. The Bible says, Romans 12:18, if it be possible, some people won't let you. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peacefully with all men. Wow. Live peacefully. It means you're a person that puts people back together, puts relationships back together peacefully. Combining together that should separate. God ain't called you to clean the fish. God called you to catch them. He'll clean them. Do your best this week to see everyone you meet as an opportunity to show agape. Remember last week I saw that guy. next 2 weeks, and I don't know about the next 2 weeks that I was with him, I have no idea that it was God. I really took it upon myself, didn't know that it was God thrust of me, to get with him. And he had his big old arms, and I go, MMA, I go, come here, you MMA fighter, come here, ninja. And I get them arms. And he'd laugh. And it blew my mind how much he's participating in the group session on how to handle going home. It blew me away. Nothing could have blown me away more than knowing he died before he got there. This week, do your best to see everyone you meet. It's an opportunity that y'all got back. And when you do this, you're going to have to ask God to empower you to be able to accept this opportunity if the door opens. Because sometimes it's hard. Very hard. Some people are so hurt and so broken, you're thinking they're rejecting you or attacking you. They're just rejecting good things because they don't think they deserve the good things. They don't think they deserve a break. They don't deserve love. And so you're going to talk to them, they're rejecting you, and you're thinking they're rejecting you, but they're not. They're rejecting because the way they feel inside, I don't deserve this. Leave me alone. Do it expecting nothing in return. It's God back. Reach out to people and don't expect anything in return. Knowing that when you do this, this is the closest you ever get to living the Christly example. Just remember something. We are the light of the world. We're a city set up on a hill. You don't hide light under a bushel, which means you don't get a bushel basket and put it on top of it. I understand that it's hard out there. I understand people reject it. I understand people will kick you, hurt you. And it actually is a gamble to show a God pay. But it'd be easier just to walk away. But remember, you're the light of the world. You don't have to say, oh, well, I remember. It was Billy Graham. Some celebrity, Billy Graham, I think it was Gerald Ford, they were all playing golf. And when the celebrity got been playing golf, they asked him, he said, well, how's that golf thing? He said, it was okay. And he said, you know, the president, he was pretty cool. He said, but he said, well, how's that playing golf with Billy Graham? He said, ah. He said, he kept shoving religion down my throat. And the reporter said, really? What did he say? He said, nothing. Because his light was shining. It was getting his eyes. A lot of people have been hurt. If you're not careful, this is what's going to happen. So easy to let that flame go out. We sing it, hide under a bushel, no. Ain't gonna let it blow it out. We sing it in here, we go out, and somebody hurts our feelings. And guess what they do? They blow off, they blow their flame out. This week, remember, I'm gonna say it again. Do your best to see everyone you meet as an opportunity to show agape. Ask God to empower you to accept this opportunity as the door opens. Do it expecting nothing in return, knowing it's the closest you'll ever get to following Christ's example. And just like this young man that died last week, had no idea. Well, thank God. At least once a week, sometimes twice a week, maybe on Monday, I got an opportunity to show agape. And on Thursday nights, too, the chance to show agape. And eventually, it started making a difference. Would you come and bless me, Lord? Tolerance is not meaning that you accept a lifestyle, that you accept an action, that you accept an attitude. Does mean when it's backed by agape is that you refuse to let your light be blown out, but instead you let God shine. I'm not letting my light be blown out.
Never spoke them.
saw me take care of their dad and this at a funeral, and they saw me take care of their mom, and two old pews filled up. And some of these people became some of the greatest members of the church. I'm not deacons, all kinds of stuff.
I just need that touch. I need that touch. Bless them.
Let's pray together. Father,
Father,
I love you.
I love you.
I thank you
for all that you do for me.
I thank you for the agape that you showed me through your movement and through the movement of others. I ask you right now to help me also not only receive that agape, but put it to good use and go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them by my actions, by agape in action, to come in. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, I give it to you. Now, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and after saying the Lord's Prayer, then I'm going to ask Brother Doug to dismiss us in prayer. Who brought us here?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive others who trespass against us.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message. We thank you for your love. Father, as we leave here today, let us hold this word in our heart. Let it pour out in our actions to all those that we meet and see and that see us. Lord, that when they see us, that they would desire to know who is with us and in us. That they would ask those questions and to seek your face and to come in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That you would be with us today, be with us, with our families and those that were not able to be here. Bring us back to the next appointed time. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.